Drupal Voices is short daily podcast interviews with people doing work in the Drupal community. Brought to you by Lullabot On-Site Training. Need training for your Drupal web team? Lullabot's staff of expert Drupal trainers can come on-site to your place of work with a curriculum customized just for you. Past training clients include Stanford University, Arizona State University, Best Buy, The Economist, Popular Science, the U.S. Department of Commerce, Turner Broadcasting, and many more. We've trained thousands of new Drupal developers, and we'd be happy to get your team up and running with the knowledge they need to make your Drupal project a success. Visit lullabot.com/training or call 877-LULLABOT for more information.
I'm Barry Jaspin, architect at Acquia. For the last year, I've been building the Acquia hosting platform for hosting Drupal on Amazon Web Services.
So what does that mean? I mean, I guess with Amazon Web Services, you're kind of like spinning up instances, but maybe you could just talk about your experiences in terms of like what you learned in the process of using AWS.
Well, ironically, on Tuesday, I'm giving a presentation about that exact question. So it's very easy to spin up a machine on Amazon, and it's very easy to install, you know, Apache and Varnish and a database server, and you can be up and running very, very quickly. And if one machine is good enough, then that's pretty simple. But one machine's generally not good enough for anyone who wants to run a production website, simply because machines can crash, disks can fail, right? You need some kind of redundancy. What we have learned is that, you know, there's some amount of multi-machine web hosting. There's a certain skill set involved there. A lot of people in the community have that. When you do things in Amazon, there's a certain set of things that's the same as when you're hosting in a colo, and there's a certain set of things that's very different. Problems that you can't solve the way that people solve them traditionally in a colo that you have to do differently. For example, you can't reassign an IP address from one machine to another. You actually can using Elastic IP, but the way people use it for like database replication, where you know, they have a master and a slave, and if the master fails, they reassign the IP address to the slave. That doesn't work for running your databases in a high availability configuration. For the user-uploaded file storage, people use NFS with DRBD, the distributed block device software, and they use Heartbeat to, again, reassign an IP address from one NFS server to another NFS server. You can't do it in Amazon. So you need to find other solutions to that problem. The other solutions aren't necessarily really any harder. They're just different. So you have a different set of constraints, and you have to solve problems a different way.
So generally, when you're running and hosting a website, either you have it a hosted solution where you have a sysadmin who's taking care of that for you. You just pay for them to kind of take care of it. And Amazon, it seems like there's no sysadmin role. You're kind of that role. And so maybe talk about like how that works and then where Acquia is sort of like fitting in as the sysadmin role, perhaps.
Sure. So just talking about Amazon, right, what they provide obviously is the physical box, the power, the AC, all that, which, you know, if you're doing it yourself, you have to have people to do that. So that whole part is outsourced and it's great. You know, you can bring up machines and they work and you can shut them down. And like I personally wouldn't know what kind of box do I want to go buy? What kind of network switch? And, you know, do I want gigabit or not? And, like, we've never dealt with that. What Amazon doesn't do for you is, okay, so you need to bring up two database servers and you need to make them replicate. You need to bring up, you want, you know, four web nodes and you want to load balance across them. Well, Amazon will spin you up an instance, but they're not going to configure your software load balancer to distribute the traffic across those four. And how are the web nodes going to know which database server to talk to? And basically all of the configuration of the machines is still up to you, the user of Amazon. So what Acquia Hosting has built is a very automated system for configuring all that, and then we manage it for you. So if you say, all right, you know, my website is approximately, you know, this tall, I have so many page requests or so much database traffic or whatever, then we make, you know, some intelligent guesses and throw a switch, and those machines come up and automatically configure themselves. And then we continue to manage them for you going forward. So you don't have to worry about, is the latest version of, you know, the new Apache security patch installed? Or are my backups running? Or do I have 24/7 monitoring? Like, these are all things you need to do no matter where you're hosted, unless someone else is doing them for you. So we do them for you. And also, since we provide Drupal tech support, it's a one-stop shop for anyone who wants really to have their Drupal site just run for them and not have to worry about it.
And so what's the type of site that you would say is prototypical for needing something like Amazon Web Services? Because AWS is charging per hour, and I guess you have to kind of know your traffic patterns if you need to spin things up and down relative to if you have different spikes in your traffic, you know, if you have a weekly publication or something like that, or if you get no traffic in the middle of the night, and maybe just, you know, talk about that a little bit.
Well, okay, they do charge per hour, but ultimately, you know, we internally look at it as a monthly cost, right? We do the Amazon Reserve pricing, which you prepay a little bit for a year, and then you sort of amortize it by month. So the hour or not price isn't really that relevant to us. It is true that you can be very responsive. You could spin up more servers on 8 a.m. Monday morning and spin them down, you know, at 8 p.m. Monday night. None of our customers actually want to do that. For the most part, you know, sites tend to have a fairly consistent amount of traffic. If they're going to run a big spot on the Super Bowl, or if they're going to be on Oprah or something, then they know, okay, you know, a couple days ahead, we throw up some machines and we run them for a couple weeks. None of our customers have asked us to be really, really closely responsive to ratcheting up the web servers and ratcheting down the web servers. So for the most part, what most of the help we provide our customers, and when they come in, they're usually coming from somewhere else where they've been hosting their site and it hasn't worked well. And very frequently what we find is, it isn't so much that the hosting, wherever they were before, wasn't good. You know, machines are machines. Sysadmins pretty much know how to run a web stack. But there's some error in the Drupal setup. So maybe they're running some crazy views query that is just completely hammering their database. Or we had one customer that had modified core such that on every page request, they were rewriting their CSS files, the aggregated CSS files. And that works fine when you're on one machine and you're writing to a local disk. But as soon as you're on multiple web nodes and you're writing to a network file system, that's a lot of write traffic for every single page request. And by the way, they had no page caching turned on. So literally every single page request. And their network file server system was just falling over, and so their web nodes were getting backed up, and their site would go down. So the kind of help that we usually offer people is, because we run the machines and we know Drupal, we help identify wherever the problem is. And then generally, once they solve most of those sort of startup transient problems, their site's relatively efficient, you know, they're using the caching system correctly, and they can have a fairly wide spike in traffic without us having to really scale things up or down. And then, you know, we have a customer who was the second or the first hit on the Super Bowl day. If you searched for a Super Bowl video, they were the top hit on Google. I have no idea how they achieved that, but they did. And obviously, they got an exceptional amount of traffic, and you know, we had our ops guys monitoring it, and we spun up more machines for them. So
is the infrastructure that you're building for the Acquia hosting the same as Acquia Gardens? And maybe you could sort of talk about the relationship between those two.
Sure. So Acquia Hosting is a sort of generic Drupal hosting infrastructure. Drupal Gardens is a service that's actually implemented as a Drupal multi-site, and it is running on Acquia Hosting. So yes, Acquia Hosting is the infrastructure for both. Drupal Gardens, I think of it as just another customer website. They happen to be a particularly large customer website. They've got more servers and more database clusters than any of our other customers do. But fundamentally, it's a Drupal site. It's using the same web servers, the same database servers, the same file system. So that's the relationship.
When you're thinking about your presentation and some of the other lessons learned that you've experienced from working with this stuff for perhaps the last year or two, what sort of things are you going to be communicating for people to take away?
What I'm going to be talking about in the presentation are the things about Amazon that are different, that turn out to be either, like I said, either more difficult or just you have to apply different techniques in order to get a reliable site running in Amazon. And in particular, the elastic scalability, while it's a tremendous feature and you can scale up and scale down to meet demand, generally when you're in a colo facility, you don't do that, right? You buy a certain amount of hardware, and that's the hardware that you have. So if you were putting new machines in and taking them out of your colo facility, you'd have a new set of problems. Like you'd have to keep track of all their IP addresses and all their MAC addresses. And when you add a new web node, you've got to go tell your load balancer about it. And when you add a new database server, you've got to update your settings file. You would have those problems in a colo if your hardware changed all the time, but it doesn't tend to. In Amazon, because you have the capability to change your hardware all the time, you do. And that means you need a more automated command and control system to keep all your machines configured to talk to each other properly. And we have found that to be a rather large amount of work. And that's why I've spent, you know, the last year building it.
I see. So you have sort of a controller system that's programmatically helping do all those things, is what you're saying.
Sure. So when we bring up a new web server and we say, okay, you know, customer site X now lives on this web server in addition to all the other ones, our load balancers will say, hey, new web server for this site, and update. We use Nginx, so it updates its Nginx configuration file. And the web server itself wakes up and says, oh, hey, I'm supposed to be serving customer X. So it goes and gets the code from the SVN repository and builds the Apache virtual host and sets up the directory in our shared file system. And the database server says, oh, hey, new customer, and it creates a new database. And then the web server says, oh, the database, it's on that database server. So it constructs the URLs for the settings files. And all these things happen automatically, both when we have new customers and when we bring up or down hardware. So that's the bulk of what I've engineered over the last year. And I'll be showing some fairly detailed architectural pictures and explaining how it all works on Tuesday.
Okay, well, great. Thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you.